Father and our God. It is so wonderful to know you and to bask in your presence. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We enter your word now with the reverence that it deserves, fully conscious of our human limitations to deliver as well as to receive the infinite, your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into human words. And therefore we ask you to come and help us to unravel it by giving me firstly fresh unction and anointing. Indeed, I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. I pray that you'll put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that the word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills, Father, to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with the revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released from your throne in more than sufficient measure to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. We will do it with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual life, agreed and said. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 35 through 39. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 35th verse. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to Jewish Christians who were in the Roman Empire and who had accepted Christ but were under pressure because of persecution to revert back to Judaism and turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. He, being a Jew himself, and not just an ordinary Jew, like he said, Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, brought up as a Pharisee, a doctor of the law, concerning the things in the law, blameless, a person who understood, only someone like Paul could write this letter, who understood the intricacies of the ceremonial observances of the law of Moses. He was able to explain to them the implications of what their actions would be were they to turn their backs on Christ. And after explaining a lot of things to them, he now writes these verses that I am about to read. And it has a current, present-day prophetic application to you and I. Read after me. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, your confidence, your faith in Christ has a great recompense of reward. Don't lose it. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, turn to your neighbor and say, after you've done the will of God, not before, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Turn to your neighbor and say, the promise is the promise of Christ's coming in our spirit, soul, and body. That's the promise. Now, verse 37. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have to live by faith. Not by sight. Not by what you see. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them. Turn to him and say, I am not of them that draw back unto perdition. But I am of them that believe to the saving of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. This message is entitled Waiting on God's Promise. Waiting on God's Promise. Recently, some weeks, maybe some months ago, I preached about the promise. God blessed Abraham when he called him. He said to him, come away from your people. Abraham came from Iraq, from Ur of the Chaldees. And God deliberately called him out of his father's house because they are all idol worshippers, and introduced himself to him as the true and living God, El Shaddai. And he said, look, come out. I'm paraphrasing. And I'm going to take you to a new land, and I'm going to make you a great nation. In fact, your seed and your offspring is going to be greater in number than the stars in the sky. Well, Abraham did go out, and he obeyed God, and God blessed him. Blessed him financially. He had gold, silver, cattle. But the promise that God had given him, that he would have a child, he would have a son, and from there his seed would be like the stars of the sky or the sand by the seashore, hadn't come to pass. The years rolled by. 5, 10, 15, 20. He and his wife cooked up his scheme to have a child by his Hagar, by his handmaiden, gave birth to Ishmael. But this was not the promise of God, because Ishmael was born by the strength of the flesh. And so, after 25 years, about, Abraham was now 99 years old. It looked as if it was totally impossible for that promise to ever come to pass. But God appears to him and says to him, I'm El Shaddai. He says, be upright, because he had not been upright. He had deviated from the plan of God by having Ishmael. So God was a little bit ticked off with him, as putting it mildly. God was displeased, let's say, you know. Said, be upright. Said, now I told you, you're going to have a child. Now you're going to have one, like I promised. Says, I know you're 99 years old, I'm paraphrasing, but go and circumcise yourself, and you will see that my promise will come to pass. God came with the three persons of the Godhead, actually paid him a visit. The Bible says he saw three men. It was three persons of the Godhead. And Sarah heard what they said, and she laughed. And God said, she laughed, huh? Okay. You'll see that my promise will come to pass. And we know the story. He went into his wife, and at her old age, and at his old age, God did a miracle that is still outstanding to us today. In fact, it is the same promise that we are waiting on. Exactly the same promise. Because what God had to do was to reverse the aging process in Abraham's body and make it young again. Reverse the aging process in Sarah's body and in her womb and make it young again, such that the scripture says it this way. It's very powerful. It says, she receives strength to conceive. Hallelujah. This is not exactly my message, but I'm going to mention this. Anyone here who is waiting on God for the fruit of the womb, cast not away your confidence. For it has great recompense of reward. It's going to come. Don't give up. Never give up on God. Amen. So, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm 50 years old. I'm 60 years old. You know, I've had a hysterectomy. They've taken my womb out. You know, I don't even have my period anymore. How can this be? The Holy Ghost will come upon thee. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. God will give you a new womb. And He will make you fruitful again. I'm going to say something the Holy Ghost just said I should say. Believest thou this? Very few claps, you know. You're not clapping for me. I want you to understand. Believest thou this? It's a sober question. This is the reason why we preach these messages. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Waiting on God's promise. That's Abraham's story. Let me tell you our own. We get born again. I can use myself and my wife as an example, but it's not unique to my wife and I. It's true for every Christian. You get born again. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptized, you know. Speak in tongues. Then you go to some funny prophetic conference. What happened to me? You hear a prophecy from a man of God, Kenneth Hagin, George Warnock, all these end time prophets, and they begin to tell you that there's something that's going to happen at the end of the age. They call it the manifestation of the sons of God. And they say that the life of God, the power of God is going to be made manifest in our mortal flesh in exactly the same way that we see it happening in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, yes, the Bible, you check the Bible and you find out, yes, it's so. And God even speaks to your own heart and begins to show you, yes, it is so. You check the scriptures, you make diligent search, so that it's not as if somebody's trying to fool you. You even go and see where Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works. You go to the scriptures and you see where the Bible says that there's going to be the redemption of our body. You see the scriptures that says twice, following each other, that the life of God be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That the life of God be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In this tabernacle we groan. Not that we want to be unclothed. We don't want to die, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up to life. And then you ask yourself, can these things be so? And 5 years pass, and 10 years pass, and 15 years pass, and 20 years pass, and it seems as if the promise, exactly like Abraham, exactly like Abraham, when will these things ever? And God comes and says to you, you are now in that season. Hence this message. So we must learn, all of us have to learn to wait on God's promise. Abraham almost derailed. And I think for many of us, if we're not careful, what happened to Abraham will happen to us. It will not happen to us in Jesus' name. But what I mean is it could happen to us. I don't want it to happen to us. That's why we're preaching this message. Abraham wanted to take the shortcut through the flesh. Look for some natural thing that he could substitute for God's promise and call it the glory. But God said, this Ishmael, it will not be your heir. What I said I would do it. I got another, it's resonating in my spirit. Is there anything too hard for? That's what he asked them. And I speak about myself personally, I have seen enough of God in my life, in my experience over these many years, to know that there is nothing God cannot do. I do not say that as a religious cliche. I do not say it just to say it, you know. I'm saying it as a fact. I've seen the power of God. I've seen God move in all kinds of impossible situations. We even had a situation last week, you know, and God will just, you know. So the God who did that one, the one he said he would do, all those ones are just promises. This one is the promise. No matter what God gave to Abraham, no matter how many cattle, how many sheep, how much gold or silver, how many wars he won, how many kings he defeated, if he never had Isaac, he would never fulfill his destiny. No matter what blessings God has given us, if this blessing of the promise does not come to pass, do you understand? We'll go to heaven, as far as going to heaven is concerned, but we cannot fulfill the purpose God has for us and close this age. And so, we must have the same faith. Let me say it this way. We must walk in the same steps that our father Abraham walked in. Give me Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to start from verse 17. And in particular, I want you to go to the New International Version. It's one of the best in this particular context. Everybody read along with me. Say, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead. Chill. Turn to your neighbor and say, what did they say? The God who does what? Who does what? Who does what? He was the God who gave life to the dead body of Abraham. I know he wasn't physically dead. But his body was so old. He gave life to the womb of Sarah. Who gives life to the dead? And calls the things that are not as though they were. Stop. Is that a lie? It's not there. And you say it's there. Hello? That's what it is. Calling what is not as if it is. How can you do that? Only God can do that. You know why? When God calls it, even though it is not, the power to make it be is released when God talks. Hallelujah! And he creates the reality of what is not yet a reality. Lazarus' tomb, he stands and he says, Martha says, your brother will rise again. He said, yeah, I know, of course the Bible says so. She's going to rise again at last day. Yeah. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. But at that time, he had not resurrected. Jesus had not died.
He had not resurrected. Yet he was calling himself the resurrection and the life before he became the resurrection and the life. He called what was not as though it were, and it became. Learn to do the same. You have to learn that this is what this is the essence to generate faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And all these people of faith that we read about, they were not supermen and superwomen. They were just like you and I. The same infirmities, the same fears, the same doubts. And that's why Abraham and Sarah are such a good example for us to learn from, because it encourages us. Look at Abraham. You know, in spite of all that he saw God had done for him, you know, God had blessed him, God gave him something, he killed all the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of those things, and God blessed him and everything. Yet this promise hadn't yet come to pass, and Abraham said, look, I don't know what God's doing. Let's find another way of doing this thing. But God had mercy on him. Verse 6:18. Hello. Against all hope, Abraham believed in hope. Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19. Without, I want everybody to scream these verses. Without weakening in his faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, I will not weaken in my faith. You must not weaken in your faith. Now how? Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Turn to your neighbor and say, we must face facts. He did not run away from the fact. He faced it. He faced the fact. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Turn to your neighbor and say, face the fact. Your body is still perishing. The outward man is perishing. It's a fact. It's a fact. But there is a greater fact. There is a truth that supersedes that fact. The truth of God's word, that nothing God has promised shall be impossible. I'm going to come back to this verse in a minute. Do you know that about maybe 4,000 years ago, about 4,000 years ago, God gave a prophecy through Isaiah. And he said that the virgin will conceive. 100 years goes by, nothing happens. Another 100 years goes by, nothing happens. 1,000 years go by, nothing happens. 2,000 years go by, nothing happens. 3,000 years. One afternoon, an angel just flies very quietly into a city called Nazareth and appears to a young virgin whose name was Mary. He says, Hail Mary, you are highly favored. Blessed are you amongst women. Cut a long story short, he says, you're the one Isaiah talked about. And you're going to have a baby. And she said, no problem. But I'm a virgin. And I don't. Thank you. I haven't slept with any man. So, how shall this thing be? The answer he gave to Mary is the answer I'm giving you. I said the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. So this body that is still perishing will receive life and manifest the life of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Get back to Romans. I'm not talking to anybody here. Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. He said, no, we're in verse 18 now. Good. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old.
I didn't hear you. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. You see, God, that's God's speciality, giving life to what is dead. Hello? How many people have dead dreams here? How many people have had, you know, things you thought, well, you know, you just said, well, that cannot happen. God is going to give life to it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Stop. Turn to your neighbor and say, you must not waver. Keep the promise before you. Keep it before your mind. Keep it in your heart. Hallelujah. He says he did not waver through what? Unbelief regarding the promise of God. Now, every time you see that promise of God, bring it to our own day today. That promise of God to us today, the promise that he that shall come will come, is the coming of Christ. We already have Jesus in our spirit, but in the body, in the physical body, manifest in the mortal flesh. So we will not waver. I said we will not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. I remember one strengthened their faith. That's the reason for this message, waiting on God's promise. Strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Wait. A 99-year-old man. He hasn't had a baby. The wife is 90. The womb is dead. Well, he said God came to him. You know how this, you know, this funny issues. I'm paraphrasing using modern language. I can imagine what the neighbors will say. He said God that came. You know, they always tell you that God talks to them. God talks to them. Anyway, you know, and here he is. He went to circumcise. I almost killed himself. He went to circumcise himself, you know, and then, you know, we just noticed that they started calling themselves a new name. So in the back of the tent, you hear Sarah calling Abraham, say, Father of many nations. Then you hear Abraham calling Sarah, Mother of many nations. And the neighbors say, Alamala Kori, Emma Daolo. Iwo Ilaro, Mother of many nations. Father of many nations. Almighty Ninkoke Mama Daolo. Boya Boya Watin. Then to make matters worse, apart from, you know, they were saying their faith, they were also giving glory to God. And they were thanking God. And people say, Akilu Shiwono. I am giving glory to God for us. Strengthening his faith. Giving glory to God. You begin to thank God before the thing comes. Hallelujah. You have a foundation. It's the word of God. And that word, you have seen it work. You see, Abraham had seen God work in his life. He had seen God bring him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He had seen God bless him. He had seen God give him victory over those kings. He had seen God with Melchizedek. He had seen. So he had a history. Although the promise hadn't yet come, but he had a history of other promises God had fulfilled. So based on that, he was strengthened in his faith. He refused to allow himself to waver. And he continued to give glory to God. And lo and behold, when the season came, because in God there's always a season. When the season came, he circumcised himself. Sarah started looking younger. Before they knew it, she had conceived. What they said was impossible had happened. Within 9 months, they had a baby. They called him Laughter. You know why? They were laughing at those who laughed at them. Give the Lord a clap offering. You will laugh at those who are laughing at you. He that sits in the heaven shall laugh. verse 21. And gave glory, being fully persuaded that God had the power, 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 that God had the power. I said that God had the power, 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 that God had the power to do what he had promised. Give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. Sit down. Let's ask yourself a fundamental question. That's why we're teaching these things. See, faith comes by hearing here. Ask yourself, does God have the power? It's either yes or no. Does God have the power? Yeah. End of story. End of story. Being fully persuaded. Now, the question is, are you persuaded that God has the power? Every born again child of God that has received the first fruits, that speaks in tongues, knows God has the power. You don't think it will, neither are you trying to believe it, because you've had the first fruit of that power. If God is faithful in the first fruits, will he be unfaithful in the harvest? No. Hallelujah. I'm taking you through a mental odyssey. If God was faithful in the first fruits, will he not be faithful in the harvest? Is it not the same God who told us that he that is faithful in a little will also be faithful in much? If God tells us that human beings who are faithful in little will also be faithful in much, will now God be faithful in little and unfaithful in much? Come on. You have to sit down and think. The God who did the first fruits will do this one. And the world will see it and they will shut their mouth. And you will laugh. Back to Hebrews as I close. Waiting on God's promise. When my children were small, I probably still teach them in the children's church. I used to tell them this. I used to, when I pray with them in the mornings, you know, when they were little, very little, you know, we'll say all these things. I say, always remember that it takes, there's always a time period between when God says something and when the thing happens in our lives. And I give them this. I say, Jesus, 24 hours. There was all the children will say it after me. And I'll say, Esther, 3 days. And I'll say, Daniel, 21 days. Then I'll say, Abraham, 25 years. All different time spans. Depends on the kind of promise. This one is not a promise. It is the promise. It's what you call a game changer. Once it happens, Satan knows all bets are off. Satan doesn't care how many cars you have. He doesn't care how big your church is. He doesn't care how many private jets you have. He doesn't, all those things mean nothing. He can give them to you. He promised them to Jesus. Jesus turned the deal down. Hallelujah. But he promised them. He said, all the kings of the world, he said, they are mine and I will give them if you just worship me. Come on. You know, he doesn't care. But that won't change the world. What will change the world is the promise. Hallelujah.
I don't need the plane. I don't need the cars. I don't need the money. I just need the promise. Once I have the promise, I have so many planes, I won't know what to do with them. I have so many cars, I won't know what to do with them. I have so much money, Solomon will envy me. I remember knowing that Solomon is in heaven now. And he's watching there. He's like, these guys, they want to break my record. But we are going to break his record. Because the creator of the record said a greater than Solomon is here. I got another tweet from heaven. He said, yeah, they'll break my record and they won't mess up the way I messed up. Because they have the promise. A glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. The best of two worlds. The prosperity, the power, and the wisdom. Everything. It's a joker. It's a game changer. It is the reason why. I'm going to read these next verses. For you have need of patience, that after you have done, not before, the will of God, you might receive the promise. Let us ask a rhetorical question. What is the will of God in this context? You don't give this kind of power to somebody in whom patience has not had its perfect work. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith does what? Worketh pay, or is putting patience to work. Do you know patience is the major ingredient of love? Love endures long and is patient and kind. That's what it starts with. You know what it ends with? It says love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It endures everything without weakening. Love starts with patience and ends with patience. A person who does not develop the virtue of patience cannot be trusted with this power. It is in that context, he said, except a man perfect the will of God. After you have done the will of God, after you have allowed patience to have her perfect work, you will receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while. To you it looks long. To God is a little while. It's just a few years. Hello, somebody. And then he gave us what I call a little while to God. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. So 4,000 years, 4 days. That's next week, Monday. I got news for you. The blood moon tetrads. God is like a signboard in the sky. He says, when you see these things, see, there were two major things there. There were some other things, but major ones. He says, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and distress of nations. How many people know that there is distress of nations in the earth today? The blood moon have passed. They passed. Stopped in September, you know, since then the frequency of the distress that, you know, Nigeria had our own, the Boko Haram and all of that, you know, and the Chibok girls that were kidnapped and were believing and nothing happened. Then on top of that, we had the elections and the whole of Nigeria was shaken. They thought Nigeria was going to scatter, you know, when you talk about distress. Then on top, when that one finished, then economic recession. Then they came to an empty treasury, so they said, you know, and so
Another message for another day. Let's just put that on one side. You know, well, okay. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Talk about distress. Then it has never happened in recent times. Nigeria entered recession. Our currency has gone. The kind of distress that Nigeria is going through now is something that we never thought we would ever get back into. Nigeria that was had money is part of the signs of the heavens. But it didn't stop in Nigeria. Brexit. How many people have heard of Brexit? It shook England to its root. A whole prime minister had to step down. And as I speak, they are still wondering how they are going to come out of it. But it did not stop there. We now go to God's own country, the United States of America. God's own country. Are you listening to me? What we are seeing in America has never been seen before. Talk about high drama. An unprecedented presidential election campaign. The last part of one part of drama was just thrown out last Friday. Probably really nothing to it. But the way it came out, Americans are, what's going to happen? Shaking is distress of nations. Because something was happening in the heavens. There is a war. And Michael and his angels fought. There was war in heaven, and the dragon and his angels fought. All these things you are seeing is a result. They say when the elephants are fighting, they say it is the grass. The angels are fighting in the heavens. You are seeing the effect on the earth. But then there's a glimmer of good news. 21 girls are suddenly released. Because it was when they were captured, the blood moon started. Then suddenly, is the beginning of our recovery. It has told us, what that sign tells us is this. The war has now moved in our favor. Daniel chapter 7 verse 24. It says, and there was a little horn, and he fought against the saints, and he prevailed only for a while, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given in the favor of the saints, and the time came. Say, the time has come. Hallelujah. And the saints possessed the kingdom. Hallelujah. The siege is over. We are winning. Hallelujah. It's as certain as the moon and the sun will come up. Are you listening to me? The heavens declared it. There's a change. So, you know what you have to do now? Keep your hands steady. Be still and know that I am God. Go back to Hebrews. I got to close. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, letting patience have her perfect work inside you, you might receive the promise. God has shown you from the heaven. See, this is not Pastor Lubi. This is not a sign any man can manufacture. This is a sign only God. And it's a sign that can only work over time frames of millennia. When you're looking at the rotation of the heavens and these blood moons and the eclipses and all that, they only happen on periods of hundreds of years and thousands of years. Because God had a purpose. So in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, he said he set the moon. And he said as signs for religious festivals. The feast, before any feast had been made. And so now, we know, we don't think so. We're very close. We are very, very close. So what should you do now? I've got to close with this. Let patience have her perfect work. Remember when Esther was going to be taken before the queen? They took her into the house, the women, 12 months, 6 months of bitter odors, then 6 months of perfume. If you read Modern Translation, it says perfume and cosmetics. How many people remember Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3, and Mark 4? And those are physical cosmetics. But God is now saying, take the blood, take the word, take the spirit, remove the spot, the wrinkle, the blemishes. Oh yeah, get ready. You are just about to appear before the king. Hallelujah. 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 He said that he might present to himself a glorious church. So all the spots, start getting rid of it. Let patience continue to do her perfect work. All the wrinkles, all the blemishes, get rid of it. So that when you come before the king, you say, this is my glorious church. And he said, let all the world come and see her beauty. You see it in Psalm 45. Let all the world come and see my glory. It says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the earth will see it together. Let patience have her perfect work. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Let patience have her perfect work. Waiting on God's promise. Romans chapter 12, I just saw it in my notes now. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continue. Everybody say continuing. I didn't hear you. Instant in prayer. Just continue. Don't let your eyes go off the mark. Just continue. Continue. It says, if you continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples indeed. Then you will know the truth, and it will set you free. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Talk to God this afternoon. Waiting on God's promise. These principles I've applied to many other things. We're talking about the promise, but whatever it is, maybe financial, maybe you're believing God for a life partner. Same principle. Let patience have a perfect work. Maybe the reason why that thing hasn't yet come is because there's not enough patience in your life yet to handle it. Talk to God. Let patience, you have need of patience. Cast not away your confidence that hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God. That will of God is being done as you are praying, as you are believing God, as you keep praying, and you keep giving glory to God, and you keep praying. Patience, the blood, the word, and the spirit, they keep working inside you, and they're changing you from the inside. And they're changing you from the inside. They're changing you from the inside. Getting you ready for the promise. Don't take your eye off the ball. Talk to God. Jesus, you are changing me. That your spirit, you're making me like you. Raise the other one to God. Say, Father, I didn't hear you. Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I repent of every sin of wavering and unbelief in my heart in view of this great promise that you have promised your church, that the life of God made manifest in our mortal flesh before the end comes. And we know that we're in this season now, as indicated by your blood moons and the distress of the nations that we see before us now. And you said in your word that you will shake all nations, and that as you do that, the desire of all nations will come through your church, and you will fill this house with glory. And so we know that we are so close to this time. And therefore, Father, I recalibrate, I remeasure my faith, and I set it upon your word. I refuse to allow myself to be distracted. I refuse to waver in unbelief or stagger in unbelief at the promise of your word. I look at your word and I say, according to your word, that with you nothing is impossible. I say, like you said to Mary, the Holy Ghost will come upon me and your power shall overshadow me. And in this flesh, in this my flesh, your life and your power will be made manifest according to your word. Behold, your servant and your handmaid, be it unto me, be it unto me, be it unto me, according to your word, in Jesus' name. Nekatolo mashala pratufres, li priki tufrene gash tufrenes, lo priki tuske frenengas, lo priasho koro, zefridikas, lumbrigi tuske frenenges, lu prideka shoko, lingredolos, zefridikas, lumbredegi tolos, likranangasta, zofredes, lumbrigi tuske frenenga. Tolomangaras, tufridis, tolomangar dufres, ziki tufres, lumbridikas tufres, zufridias, tolomashaka tufres, zufridias, tolomangar dufres. In Jesus' name.